Unfortunately, Blaine is not feeling well this morning, so she is not able to do the special. So Lisa just did the special. Thank you. The kids are dismissed to junior church. If you have your Bibles, we're in chapter 4, Gospel of Luke. Sometimes I wonder, I think some people think that ministry is easy, or ministry should be easy, and if it's not easy, then maybe God's just not opening up that door. Maybe if ministry's not easy, maybe I should be doing something else. I don't know anywhere in the Bible where he said ministry's always going to be easy, because it's not always easy. But we're called to be faithful and do ministry even when it's tough. Amen? Today we're going to see where even the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Christ himself, the one who was absolutely perfect, was rejected. And what even makes it sting worse, what even makes it harder was, it was his own hometown. His own hometown. People he grew up with. So if you will, we're going to have a word of prayer and we're going to jump into it. Lord, I thank you for everybody that you brought here. Everybody that set their alarm and woke up and is here, we just thank you, Lord. Pray for those who forgot. Lord, again, I ask that you'd forgive us for our sins. Because it's real, and your word clearly says every one of us falls short, every one of us sins. So we ask that you'd forgive us for all of our sins. And I pray, Lord, that you would just meet us right where we're at. I pray, Lord, that we would be open, that you would open our ears and our eyes, our hearts to you. I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to allow you to change us, even if it takes us out of our comfort zone. Even if it's hard, I pray that we'd be faithful and allow you to mold us and sanctify us. I pray that we would be the people and the church that you call us to be. And I pray, Lord, that you would pour your Holy Spirit upon us, upon this time. I pray it'd be a sweet time to you as you minister to us. I pray, Lord, that we would learn from your holy word through your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. All God's people said. Last week we talked about, so a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Jesus being baptized in phenomenal time. And then he was led out and he was tempted by the enemy. Again, being tempted is not a sin. It's what you do with the temptation. And he showed us very clearly how we can conquer temptation. It's not always easy, but he showed us how to do it and how to use the word and prayer and so much there. We talked about that last week. And that brings us up to verse 14. Between verses 13 and 14, probably months happened. We don't see it here. Luke doesn't go into detail. Actually, Matthew, Mark, nor Luke go into detail about that time, about Jesus' early ministry around Jerusalem in that time period. You see it in John. So between verse 13 and verse 14, there's a good chance that months went by. And then that brings us to verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, he brings up that Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's upon him, in him, pouring out of him. He mentions it over and over and over. Why? Because it's that important. The Spirit upon him. Just like the Holy Spirit in us is extremely important. I don't know that he gets enough press, per se, that we talk about it enough. But the Holy Spirit upon us is huge. We need him. Look at the difference of the apostles before the Holy Spirit was upon them and after, right? The Gospels and the book of Acts. Different people, weren't they? We need him. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is God. But you also get to see the Holy Spirit upon him as well. And the power of the Spirit, he's still being led in the Spirit guided by the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. Listen, he's awesome. He changed the face of the world. No one has affected the earth like Jesus Christ did. He is the biggest changing factor ever. He's a creator of it, and when he stepped upon it, it changed forever. Of course news spread about him. Just his baptism alone. Think of his baptism alone, right? So he gets baptized. The dove comes down, or the Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove upon him. The Father speaks. It was a topic worth talking about, right? It's a big deal. Anybody else agree with that? God speaking from heaven. You can see the Holy Spirit coming upon him. I think it would cause a conversation. Even if they didn't have Twitter or Instagram, the word still gets around. Okay? People still talk. So the even baptism alone and the ministry he's starting to do, the word spreading about him throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and everyone praised him. It was custom for if another teacher would come into a synagogue, they could have synagogues in a bunch of the different towns around. Like they were similar to like a little church. It was a place where they could go and study the scriptures and worship. To have a synagogue in a town, they had to have 10 Jewish men who were married in the town. Right? And so Jesus, Paul did the same thing. If you remember throughout the letters of Paul and in Acts, he would go to a different town. He would find the synagogue. And when he would go in, if the leaders would invite them to, they could stand up and read, or they could have a time to share or a time to teach as a teacher. So Jesus did the same thing. When he would go to these synagogues and they found out he was a teacher, they would invite him and let him to teach and to lead some in these synagogues. So he taught in their synagogues and everyone praised him because he spoke with wisdom and power and authority. We saw that when he was 12. At 12, he was above the best of them. And then it goes on in verse 16. It says, he went to Nazareth. Was Nazareth a highly thought of place? Does anybody remember? No, it's kind of looked down upon, if you remember. What else do you remember about Nazareth? What is special about Nazareth? Yeah, it's where he was raised. He went home. This is his hometown. So as we read the rest of the story, you've got to keep that in your brain. You've got to remember where he's at. This is home. This is his hometown. This is where he grew up. These are the people that watched him grow up. You know, there are probably kids there he might have played with, people's houses he might have worked on. People who knew him. These are the people that knew him. This is his home. This synagogue that he goes into is probably the one he grew up in and he worshiped in for years. He knew the people. Maybe even had a seat that he normally sat in. I don't know. Maybe he moved around. I don't know. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath, on the worship, on the day to worship. We're called to worship on every day, but this one was set aside. He went into the synagogue, as was his custom. I want you to know that really preaches. It might not sound like there's a lot there, but there's a lot there. He regularly went in to worship. Often he went in to worship. Listen, if there's anybody in the world who didn't need to go in to worship, it's him, because he is God. He's the one that deserved to be worshiped. But he spent time in the synagogue. He regularly went there because he loved the Father. And it was the right thing to do. Did you catch that? Regularly, he went in. He spent time there. It was his custom. And he stood up to read. Again, if he would have been invited. Now, these are people that probably, they know him. He grew up there. And they invited him to read. So he grew up there, knew him, and they had been hearing things about him, so they asked him when he got back. They asked him if he would read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. So when he would stand up, there would have been an attendant there who would have grabbed the scroll. That's how it was broke up then, right? They didn't have the Bible like this. It would have been in scrolls. It would have been the scrolls would have been kept in a special place. They had an attendant hand it to him. When Jesus opened it, he unrolled it to this spot of Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and part of verse 2. Now, what about something else to do? But he went and worshiped regularly. If worship is where Jesus wanted to be and it was good enough for Jesus and he's our perfect example, I believe it's good enough for us. Amen? I want you to see that God looks at the heart. I praise the Lord that he doesn't, it's not about your bank account. It's not about your social standing. Praise God, it's not about my social standing. Because I would be in big trouble. I'm probably low on all of your social status just right now. I don't have great high social standing. It's not about social standing. It's not about your position. It's not about your name. It's about your heart. I thank you. I praise the Lord that he loves us in spite of us. The fact that he would reach out and to those two Gentile people would have blown the mind of the Jews. It did. And that he opened the doors for us who aren't Jews, who are Gentiles, to come in, I think would have rocked their world. But he did. Because he loves us. He looks at our hearts. He wants a relationship with us. I want you to say that you don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to have a great last name. You just need to have a heart for him. You have to have a heart for him. Do you have a heart for him? Last one. So one, I believe we can see that regular worship, whether it's here at another church, wherever you're getting fed, I want you to be where you're getting fed. If it's not here, find a place you're getting fed. Regular worship, knowing that it's about your heart. Last one, Luke, so powerfully already in the first four chapters, has been declaring very clearly that Jesus is the Messiah. He's showing Theophilus, why can't I say his name? Theophilus, clearly who Jesus is, that he's the Messiah, that he's the Son of God, that he is the Creator, that he is the One. He's showing him that he is the chosen Messiah. Clearly and definitely, without a doubt, he is the Messiah. And you know what? Some people got it. Some people got it then. Some people get it now. Some people can see that the evidence is overwhelming that Jesus Christ is Messiah, that the Word of God is the Word of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the one that saved us. He is the only one that could save us. And there's a lot of people that get it. But guess what? There's a lot of people that don't. And some of them are hostile. Some of them are angry. Some of them would love to throw you off the cliff, literally. I believe we are called to do ministry, whether it's easy or hard, we're still called to be faithful and do ministry. True? Because the world still needs to hear about Jesus Christ. That's what the world needs. More than anything else, they need Jesus. They need Jesus. So I'll end with this. Very clearly, evidence overwhelmingly says, and Jesus claims to be the Messiah. I've ended with this before. I'm going to end with it again today. It all comes down to what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? When it's all said and done, when everything's boiled down, it all comes down to what you do with Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray that there's not a person here that walks out of these doors today without knowing exactly who you are. I pray that we would have a heart for you, that you would open our heart to you. That we would come to worship not because we're guilted into it, not because somebody tells us to, not because our wife forces us to, not because our parents drag us here. That we come to church because we love you and we want to be near you. We want to worship you, whether the pastor's on or off that day, whether the music's too loud or too quiet, whether... Lord, that we want to come because we love you and we want to worship you. That worship, Lord, would be more about you and less about us. It would be more about you being praised and glorified as you work on us. that we would have the right attitude and the right mindset when we step in the doors, that it would be to come here, not to entertain us, but to worship the King of Kings. Because we love you. Because we love you. And I pray as we do that, you would continue to mold and shape and grow us, because we need you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. If you would, please.